Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much. Joining me, thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as always. I want to introduce you to a new friend. Marcia Petrie-Sue is our guest. That's a hyphenated name. Petrie-Sue is her last name. She's the author of Toxic People. And she, Marcia, is a very successful professional speaker. She's known as the decontaminator of toxic people because she helps people deal with those people who are toxic. And her new book, as I think I told you, is titled Toxic People. Marcia, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Jim. It's really my honor.
It's good to have you here, Marcia. And I asked the audience before you got here if they knew anybody who was toxic. And I think a lot of people know people that you and I consider to be toxic. You and I would give them that label. But I think most people probably don't use that term to identify the annoying people in their lives. But
I think
it's important, though. I'm glad you do that, because I think it's important to give those people who suck the spirit right out of us, to give them a harsh label, and that way we don't beat around the bush. Because it seems to me that the people you and I think are toxic, it seems to me that they're so outrageous that it might take us a year or two even to realize what they're doing, because we can't believe anybody would do that.
Well, that's right, and that's why I like to call toxic people emotional vampires.
Yeah.
Because they really can suck the life out of you. And that's when I did the research for this book, and I've talked about conflict resolution and difficult people for a long time, that word toxic people kept coming up, and I thought, gee, people have really identified this. Mm-hmm. Then within that, there's actually six different kinds of toxic people. We've got the steamroller, the zipper lip, the backstabber, the know-it-all, the needy weenie, and my personal favorite, the whine and cheeser. And I think you're right on, because when you can identify where they are, it allows you to use the proper approach. And that's why we wind up in conflict and with bad outcomes, because we don't take different approaches to each of these difficult types.
Years ago, I read a book that you probably have read as well. M. Scott Peck wrote The Road Less Traveled.
Yes.
And in that book, he identified the people in his counseling practice who came to him. He said they always fit into two categories. One was the neurotic, and the other was the one with character disorders.
Right.
And he said, I could almost always help the neurotic, but I could almost never help the character disorder. And the neurotic was more likely to take responsibility, and the one with character disorder never took responsibility. It was always somebody else. And my only point in saying that is, when I read that, it helped me to deal with people in the future, because I kind of put everybody in those two categories.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think one of the problems that we have with this is that we try to change the other human being. We try to change their behavior. Mm-hmm. And I found that when you try to change another human being, and you probably, I don't know if you know this, but many of your listeners, I'll bet, do, it makes for great first marriages.
Exactly. I was going to tell you, the reason I wouldn't know about that, because remember, I'm the husband in the situation.
So that's right.
The one who's trying to be changed. I'm the victim in that category.
That's it. But so the only person we can change is ourselves. So that's what this is all about, is personal accountability to get different outcomes, so that you can manage those difficult people, those emotional vampires, those people that suck the life out of you every single time you encounter them.
Yeah. Well, when I think about sucking the life out of somebody, you know, I think about my spirit. I think about people who just drain my spirit and leave me you know, feeling worse than I was before. How do we identifying them might not be so hard. How do we manage those people? How do we deal with them? Because in some cases, there's not much we can do about it. It might be an employee that's a co-employee who we just can't have no control over. It might be a boss. It might be, you know, if it's somebody, if it's an acquaintance, you just stay away from them. But if you work with them, what do you do about it?
Well, I think we basically have three choices. I call it the TLC, take it, leave it, or change it. And I think, Jim, when you take it, that means that you have a plan, you have a strategy. You know that right now in the moment it's not exactly the way you want it, but later it's going to be better because you really do have a plan. Mm-hmm. When you leave it, that means you reject it. Like you say, you choose to who you work with. And so if you hate the environment, if you're in a toxic environment, you have to retool yourself and remarket yourself and position yourself to move on to other places. You know, if you're a small business entrepreneur, you look at the people that you're working with, and yeah, sometimes, and I talk about that in the book, you have to fire toxic clients.
Right.
You know, you have to move on. And that is a choice, but we have so much difficulty moving to the unknown because it takes us out of our comfort zone.
I want to make sure we differentiate, though, between difficult people and toxic people. There is a difference,
right.
Isn't there?
Oh yeah.
I want to make sure we don't throw out the difficult people with the bathwater, because there are difficult people, like difficult customers. I have been able to turn difficult customers into my biggest cheerleaders.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I'm talking about is people whose behavior, and like you're saying, they might have a character disorder or, you know, be a little bit nutso, then what do I do to be able to manage that? And that's the take it, leave it, or change it. Change it is where I look at my own flexibility. Changing it is where I look at, these may be one of the people that I have to eliminate from my life. They may be someone where I have to look at my own talents and skills and be able to manage them a little bit. And in the book, what I do is I give you language to be able to manage these toxic situations.
Right.
You know, so I think that's it, having the skill and the tool. So I can take it, I can leave it, or I can change it. And that really is the crux of that, because sometimes it is very difficult with these people. And they really do have behaviors that make us just feel terrible. The backstabbers, for an example, when I was doing research on the book, I found out that that was the number one kind of toxic person in the workplace today.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that one in 30 professional people find themselves or find other people in that category.
Right. Hold on to that thought. Marcia, we're going to be right back, folks, with Marcia Petrie-Sue, the author of Toxic People. In her description of know-it-alls, she says, common among professionals such as doctors, attorneys, and engineers. I'm surprised she didn't say talk show hosts. 20 after, I'm Jim Lysengame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find our show and the archives and the articles and the newsletter. You can subscribe to my newsletter there, which is free. Comes by email every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Don't forget to check out our blog, which we update every weekday. And don't forget the archives, including the shows I did yesterday, the interviews I did yesterday, and the ones I'm doing today, later in the day, will be available for podcasting. And plus all the interviews that we've conducted in the last several years are all there too. So you can find a topic you like and use it to your advantage. Also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, AskJim.biz. That's where you can go to get small business answers right now. No barrier to entry in any of our sites. If you can get there, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us and use all that we have to your advantage without charge, thanks to our corporate partners. Let me reintroduce you to Marcia Petrie-Sue. She's been with us for a little while. She's the author of Toxic People. Marcia, tell us where your book's available, please.
It's available at Barnes & Noble and also on barnesandnoble.com. It's available, and also amazon.com. And if anyone doesn't know how to get there, just go on my website at marciapetriesue.com, and you'll see a couple little keys there that you can just either go to Barnes & Noble or amazon.com.
Now, is your name hyphenated in the website?
No, it is not.
Okay.
No,
so it's Marcia, P-E-T-R-I-E-S-U-E.
Yes,
.com.
That's exactly
Marcia
right.
Petrie-Sue.
And it's M-A-R-S-H-A, too. M-A-R-S-H-A-P-E-T-R-I-S-U-E.
So check that out, folks, and you can find her book, Toxic People. You know, I can imagine somebody buying the book, finding the person whose toxic in their life in your book identified, circle, you know, mark that space with a marker, you know, mark the pages, wrap it up, and send it to them anonymously. What do you think?
I think that's actually what's happening with this book, because what's fun is that a lot of my corporate partners, I do a lot of business with American Express and British Petroleum and folks like that, they're not buying just one book.
Right.
You know, and they're actually giving it to people because it gives them the tools then to manage themselves and their environment. And I think that is so important, to look at the toxic organizations and what those people can do to the profits,
right,
and to the productivity inside of the business, especially a small business.
The examples, folks, are the steamroller, the zipper lip, the backstabber, the know-it-all, the needy weenie, and the wine and cheeser. Marcia, for small business owners, I don't know of any small business owner who would want to have a toxic person in their organization, let alone a toxic environment, which is probably two or more toxic people in your organization.
Right.
But one really, really obnoxious toxic person who could contaminate the whole barrel. How does a small business owner find out if they have the potential to have a toxic environment?
I think that if you receive any complaints, and I just love that question, if you have any complaints or if you see anything going on, you are the one that has to manage it. Or if you have leaders that are in charge, you know, whether they be supervisors or whatever. And I think that what we have to make sure is that the minute that we identify anything that is not exactly the way we believe it should be, it has to be addressed. I think that so many times, especially in small businesses, you get so busy that you forget that the performance appraisal becomes a performance appeasal. And you just throw a performance review to somebody, and you're not really identifying how they can grow, how they can be better. And when that behavior isn't addressed, it becomes toxic.
The way I like to think about toxic people in an organization, especially a small business, is, folks, your business is like, think of it like an automobile, a vehicle that you're trying to move down the road, and every day you're trying to move it just a little bit faster, get a little bit more control, a little bit more efficiency, so that it moves a little smoother, and everybody's trying to work toward that goal. But then you got one person who is spreading this toxic waste around. That person is hitting the brakes,
right,
of your vehicle. And so if you want people off, if you're wondering why your business is not moving as smoothly as it ought to be, maybe you got somebody hitting the brakes.
See, and I love that analogy, and the toxic person can even put a flat tire on your car.
Yeah.
You know, and I really think that the business owner is the key that starts it up. They're the ones that bring the motivation. They're the ones that have to build the morale. They're the ones that bring the fun and the celebration. And I think those are key components, that when that doesn't happen, toxic behavior can take over, and it can really flatten out those tires. It can put the brakes on, and it can just stop that car from moving forward.
Marcia, let me ask you one last question. Can toxic people be redeemed?
Yes, they can. And it becomes a personal responsibility of ourselves to figure out where we go, and for the toxic person to understand where they are and how to change. And that's what toxic people, and the byline says it all, decontaminate difficult people at work without using weapons or duct tape.
But there are toxic people who can be redeemed, but
yes,
every toxic person can't be redeemed. Some of them are beyond help.
That's right. And what we find,
you've got to decide what to do about those.
Yeah, in our research, we find that 2% of the people fall into that category, and those are the people that have to be coached and counseled.
And the book is called Toxic People by Marcia Petrie Sue. Marcia, will you come back another day?
I would just love it. And be sure to go on Barnes & Noble and get that book and have that tool. And thanks so much, Jim. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Marcia. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Quick break, right back with David Gage. We're going to talk about mediation. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.